Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and friends of Baltimore Ravens.
Your attention, please. The most valuable player for Super Bowl 35, Ray Lewis.
Jacoby Jones has it at the 20. Jacoby Jones, touchdown, Ravens.
Time has expired.
Skin is tackled. The Baltimore Ravens are Super Bowl champions.
Is there a place you'd rather be right now? Is there any place in the world that you'd rather be right now, this minute, than right here?
We've been waiting 254 days! 254 days! What are we prepared to do? It's a privilege to wear these colors, and not a right. And we all have to earn that privilege every day. 1, 2, 3, right.
Monday Night Quarterback, our fourth season of Ravens Monday Night Quarterback, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Warehouse and Lupton's Sports Collectibles. I'll tell you a little bit about all of that in just a little bit. But first, the task at hand. Yesterday in Oakland, the Baltimore Ravens begin the season 0-2 with a 37-33 loss to David Carr and the Oakland Raiders. And as I said, as a result, the Ravens are 0-2 for the first time since the 2005 season. Look, first time under head coach John Harbaugh, there are several different ways to look at this. There are a couple of ways that are really, really bad, and there are a couple of ways that aren't really, really bad. I mean, this is a football team that, you know, lost three in a row back in 2008 under John Harbaugh. This is a football team that lost three in a row in 2009 under John Harbaugh. This is a football team that lost three in a row in 2012 under John Harbaugh. Last year, we lost two in a row under John Harbaugh. And, you know, back in 2012, would we lose four out of five, something of that nature, four out of six? Look, what makes the task so freaking daunting is what happens next on the schedule, obviously. The Cincinnati Bengals come to Baltimore, and look, I mean, you know, you want to talk about common opponents here. It's a little scary to think about how the Ravens struggled just 1 week after the Cincinnati Bengals absolutely destroyed that very same football team the Ravens lined up against yesterday. That Oakland Raiders football team didn't cross the 50-yard line on the Cincinnati Bengals in week one until the second half. So that's the bad of it here. You know, everybody wanting to blame Dean Pease and company and John Harbaugh. And, you know, look, obviously when you lose a football game like that, there's a plenty of blame to go around. You know, the Ravens couldn't cover the broadside of a barn yesterday. I'm so sick and tired of Ladarius Webb. I mean, a great guy for the community. And And look, I mean, let me get this off my chest, too. You know, before I moved to Florida, I was a PSL holder for the Baltimore Ravens. Like many of you are, like many of you that don't live in the area, you spend your $300 and $400 with DirecTV to watch the Baltimore Ravens play, and you know, or your favorite NFL team. You reserve the right. I get where everybody's coming from with, you know, I'm a Ravens fan till I die. You can be a Ravens fan and be pissed off and bitch and complain about what happened yesterday because it was ugly. There's no question about it. And it needs to be dissected. It needs to be called what it is. And that secondary needs to be called out for the way they played yesterday. And those linebackers need to be called out. That doesn't take away from what these guys are as human beings and what they do in the community. You know what? That's great. That's fantastic. But when you put your ass on that 100-yard by 50-yard football field every Sunday, I want to see a better damn performance than I saw yesterday from the defense of the Baltimore Ravens. Kudos to all of your charitable contributions and the great guys that they are. But we reserve the right as fans. The media reserves the right as their job to cover the football team. The bitch piss and moan as much as they want. Get off your high horses. It's all fair in love and war, especially millions of dollars are at stake paying players based off the money you hand the league. So don't tell me that, you know, everybody's a Ravens fan that's either logged on to this show, but you certainly reserve the right to complain about what you saw yesterday because it sucked. It was horrendous yesterday defensively for that Baltimore Ravens team. They made Derek Carr look like freaking Aaron Rodgers yesterday. And while I think that Derek Carr has a very good shot at one day being something of a mini-me version of Aaron Rodgers, he certainly isn't there yet. I mean, there was nothing out there yesterday. You know, a lot of people want to blame Dean Pease. Okay, let's take that perspective for just a second. Let's support your claim that Dean Pease was at fault yesterday. Although I think I counted personally 12, 13, maybe 14 different types of packages and mixtures and blitz packages and whatever the Baltimore Ravens threw at him yesterday. I could be wrong, but I mean, I know the game pretty good. I thought they threw a ton. Yes, just piss poor execution is what that boiled down to yesterday. But if you want to blame Dean Pease, okay, maybe he didn't do enough with his scheme to confuse a sophomore signal caller. I get that. I understand that. I can certainly agree with that because the Cincinnati Bengals made David Carr look extremely freaking pedestrian in week one. And he will again look extremely pedestrian against some of the better defenses in the league at the moment, which the Baltimore Ravens simply are not. I mean, when they made it 30-23 or whatever it was yesterday, that their next to last touchdown pass, David Carr scrambled to the left. He was between, I believe, that was first and second base in that hellhole of a football stadium. And I have to tell you that I don't believe I saw one Raven after I counted 6, 7, 8 seconds David Carr had. And then when he turned, because he was running in the opposite direction of the way he wanted to throw the football, he had time to turn and throw the ball, really not all the way back across the middle of the football field, but sort of, kind of. And he threw a duck, a wobbly ball that hung up there what seemed to be forever to me, and it was damn near, and it looked like a pooched punt is what it looked like coming out of Carr's hand. And it had time to find a receiver for a Raider touchdown. I mean, I don't understand. That I do not understand how a play like that can be made against what's supposed to be a PDG secondary, a pretty damn good secondary. Well, it's not a pretty damn good secondary. And yesterday, Jimmy Smith completely and utterly regressed. You cannot, you know, Jimmy, you know what happened to Jimmy Smith yesterday? Jimmy Smith thought he was going to go up against a rookie yesterday, and he was going to be able to take full advantage of that. Well, Jimmy, I mean, as much as I hate to say this, you know, Pac-Man Jones did a pretty damn good job on Amari Cooper a couple of weeks ago. But, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, maybe there was something to the fact that the Ravens stayed out there last week. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why you turn in a performance like that other than the fact that, and we talked about it last week with Brian Bauer from the Russell Street Report following the Ravens' loss to Denver, and the major key concentration, the major focus of concentration coming out of the Denver loss last week was that the Ravens didn't have any playmakers on offense. I'm still not convinced that they do because, you know what, yeah, the offense with Joe Flacco was 5 yards away from passing for a career high yesterday. But I'm still leery of some of the things I am not seeing. I am still not 100% comfortable. Steve Smith was targeted 16 times yesterday by Joe Flacco. The Ravens kicked 4 field goals yesterday, and of those 4 field goals, there were at least 2 plays on each of those, 2 of the 4 field goals. There was at least 2 plays in those drives. Joe Flacco should have found receivers for touchdowns, or at least put the Ravens in a goal line situation to go. He didn't do it. I'm not blaming Joe Flacco. I'm just saying, these are playmakers. You got to make these plays. I assure you, if you don't, now you're done because, you know, you all know the statistics on 0-2 football teams, right? 12% since 1990 have made the playoffs. God help the Baltimore Ravens should they start 0-3, ladies and gentlemen. Just 3 of the 124 teams that started a season 0-3 under the current playoff format, that takes you back to 1990, have made the playoffs. That's 2.4% according to ESPN stats and information. All 3 of the teams that rebounded to make the postseason did so in the 1990s, the 92 Chargers, the 95 Lions, and the 98 Bills. And the last one, the 98 Bills, they were quarterbacked by Doug Flutie, by the way. Remember that 98 Bills team? They came into what was then PSI Net Stadium and won a pretty exciting game on Halloween that year. Then there's added importance coming into this week because this is the Cincinnati Bengals. This is the Ravens' home opener. And then if we lose, we're 3 games behind the Bengals, and by God, it's not even October 1st yet. The Ravens, the first time, as I said, ever opening up 0-2 under John Harbaugh. The Ravens have opened up 0-2 3 other times in their history, and all 3 times failed to make the playoffs or even produce a winning record. Oh, by the way, last season, 3 teams started 0-3, Tampa Bay, Oakland, and Jacksonville. And those 3 teams accounted for the top 4 picks in the 2015 NFL draft. Just saying, by the way, just saying. Now, this has got to be turned around. And it's got to be this week. And, you know, let's say you get the win against Cincinnati. Then you got to go on the road on a short week and play the Steelers, who yesterday found their offense, scored 49 points against the San Francisco 49ers. I don't even know why the 49ers made that trip yesterday. There was nobody loving all over Jim Tomasula yesterday like they were last Monday night. Were they now 49ers head coach? No, I don't think so. As the Steelers put up 49, Christ, even Johnny Manziel won yesterday. Gets a victory over Marcus Mariota on the Battle of Heisman Trophy winners. Matt Manziel, Calvin Benjamin. I mean, how are the Ravens, who couldn't cover Amari Cooper yesterday, and a bunch of Darius Hayward were base scored for the Steelers yesterday, DHP. How are the Baltimore Ravens going to cover what Pittsburgh and Cincinnati have to offer them when they can't cover Amari Cooper and a bunch of no-name wide receivers in Oakland? It's going to be a tough week of practice for these boys. I can tell you that right now. We're going to hear tonight from, obviously, head coach John Harbaugh. We'll hear his postgame presser and his Monday presser. We'll also hear from Joe Flacco, Will Hill, Crockett Gilmore. We're also going to hear from Jack Del Rio and David Carr. Pretty excited Oakland locker room yesterday. Jack Del Rio, of course, many of you will remember, was the Ravens linebacker coach here during the Marvin Lewis era. Now, Jack Del Rio, no stranger to taking out Joe Flacco on the Ravens. He was the head coach of that Jaguars team on that Monday night a couple of years ago that saw the Ravens with just 17 first half yards and watched as the Jaguars, I think it were a 2 or 3 win team, stunned the Ravens on Monday Night Football. That team coached by Jack Del Rio. So Del Rio, not a stranger to beating the Baltimore Ravens, that's for sure. You look at all the report cards today, the Russell Street report, Mike Preston's report card, they all said the same thing. The offense gets A's, A pluses, B's, B minuses. The defense, D's and F's. I mean, it's pretty basic today, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the defense sucked yesterday. There's just no other way to put it. Kenny Jernigan, horrible yesterday. Horrible. Jimmy Smith, horrible. Ladarius Webb, horrible. Will Hill, he was okay. I don't know what he's bitching and complaining about on that last. You're 8 yards downfield, Will. You can no longer have contact with a wide receiver at that point. Whether you held him or not, you can't touch the guy after 5 yards. That's a penalty every day, all day, every week in the National Football League. It has been for quite some time, Will. And the thing that really burns my ass is that we see these defensive backs. Look, Darius Webb made one great look in play yesterday. Down on the Raiders, as the Raiders are trying to get to, they're trying to get in to score. But Darius Webb, man, textbook technique, had the arm around the tight end, the wide receiver down there, had his arm around him. Perfect, perfect textbook coverage. But then he disappears for the next three. And for the love of Pete, can this guy stay on the football field consistently? I mean, dude gets a fire ant bite and he comes off the field. Come on. It's just, you know, and of course the Ravens make a trade today, which we'll talk about here in a couple of minutes. They go out and they get a defensive back from the Miami Dolphins, trading a 7th-round draft pick. And, you know, I mean, you got to do something, right? Everybody wanting Cam Chancellor. Well, you're not going to get Cam Chancellor. That's not going to happen. So you might as well give that up. So they go out and make a trade today, and they pick up a defensive back from Miami, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes because that's part of what we need to worry about next week. Jason Babin, you know, look, we're going to see some new things next week against the. We're going to have to see some new things next week against the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, the whole you have to expect that your guys, especially guys that sat quarterbacks 20 times the year before, are going to put pressure on young offensive linemen and especially young. Where in the hell was Elvis Dumervil and Courtney Upshaw yesterday? The Raiders punted the football twice yesterday. You're talking about a franchise. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with yesterday's game, but you're talking about a franchise that has elected the only punter to the National Football League Hall of Fame. But yesterday, the Raiders punted 2 times yesterday. Come on, guys. It's the Raiders. A team we had only ever lost to 1 time in our entire existence. Here is instant reaction from the Baltimore Ravens following yesterday's, whatever in the hell you want to call it, horrendous performance, piss poor play by the defense, whatever adjective you want to use for yesterday's game, here's the instant reaction from the Ravens locker room.
Disappointing. We're going to have to just regroup, and we're going to have to find a way to improve as a football team. You know, we've got to play. We've got to play all three phases. We've got to play well together. We obviously haven't done that in these 2 games out west. So we've got to go back to work and we've got to improve.
To be, you know, 0-2 is kind of gut-wrenching for the way we work and the way we go about our business. But it's 2 games. We're going to move on. Go to work tomorrow.
I take it 1 game at a time. You know, we're not going to be able to get 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, you know, in 1 week. You know, we have a tough road ahead and got to take it 1 week at a time and get one back, claw our way back into it. We've been in tough spots before, and we just got to make sure that we keep our head down and, you know, don't lose any confidence in this situation and you know, stay tight-knit.
And we can't pack it in. We can't feel sorry for ourselves. We got to go out there and make plays. We got to play better and be grown men.
Coming down the field, I just stood inside, had position. He came, ran into me, and we just fighting for the ball, and I made the play. And it didn't come out how I wanted it to, but it is what it is. Got to move forward.
I thought it was a great play by Will Hill. He had position and made it one of those, you know, great NFL football plays. And thought we had the game won there.
To come into the season to be 0-2, and we had multiple chances to win the game, and we came up short.
We don't have quitters on here, so we 0-2 right now, but I promise you everybody on this team is going to come back fighting, and I just know it. So we just got to believe in one another and keep playing.
The turning point of this one yesterday was the fact that the Ravens finally get a stop with a fourth quarter interception by Will Hill, by the way. He brings the thing back to scoring range, and the Ravens just couldn't capitalize with the touchdown. They put the defense back on the field. It was just absolutely shot at that point with the game in balance. And, well, you all know, as my good one of my all-time favorite radio greats, Paul Harvey, used to say, and now you know the rest of the story. So, you know, the Ravens, look, I don't know what the hell they did today with Will Davis from Miami. They trade a seventh-round pick to the Miami Dolphins. They get a guy who was drafted 93 overall back in 2013 out of Utah State. I know this is a guy that the Ravens had a high draft grade on. I mean, not like a first-round grade or anything like that, a mid-round grade. But the good news is that I'm being facetious when I say that. He's returning from an ACL injury that ended his 2014 season last November. He's played 15 games without a start in two NFL seasons. Look, you know, I he's going to be nothing more than a nickel corner, a dime corner behind Smith, Webb, and Kyle Arrington. So, you know, I don't know what Will Davis is going to do for what we saw yesterday, other than the fact that the Ravens have just added depth. You know, I mean, that's about the gist of that. Excuse me. But just, you know, we'll get to the stats here in just a couple of minutes. Let's listen to head coach John Harbaugh's presser, brought to you by Lupton's Sports Collectibles. And if you don't know about Lupton's Sports Collectibles, right now, give them a follow on Facebook, like their page, Lupton Sports Collectibles, and then visit them at luptonsports.com. Don't forget about Chris Canty fan and autograph session September 24th. They're advertising this on the website, by the way. 6 to 9 p.m. at the Red Star Bar and Grill. Purchase tickets online at chriscantyfoundation.org. But Lupton Sports Collectibles, the best in the Baltimore metropolitan area in terms of your sports collectibles. Anything you need, any sport, Chris Lupton and the gang there, they've got you covered. How about a charitable organization where you have an auction? One of your baseball teams or football teams needs to put on an event. Give Chris a call, 443-695-4118. Talk to Chris about how it works, because nobody does it better than Lupton's Sports Collectibles. I'm stumbling over my words because I'm just dumbfounded at what the hell happened in Oakland yesterday. Where do you find Lupton's? Lupton's Sports Collectibles is at 433 Hahn Road in Westminster, Maryland. It's 21157. Lupton Sports, you can email them at luptonsports@gmail.com. Give them a call, as I said, at 443-695-4118. Visit them on Facebook. That's Lupton's Sports Collectibles. So let's take a listen to John Harbaugh and his post-game presser yesterday out at Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
Okay. Tough loss, obviously. Very disappointing. We're going to have to just regroup, and we're going to have to find a way to improve as a football team. You know, we've got to play together. We've got to play all three phases. We've got to play well together. We obviously haven't done that in these two games out west. So we've got to go back to work, and we've got to improve.
John, defensively, it was a couple of times south, and what do
Well, I mean, they had us off balance the whole game, you know. They ran it on us when they spread us out, tightened it up a little bit. They threw those screens out there and got yards and made us miss tackles. They hit big plays in the first half, you know, had a couple of double moves and threw it over our head. We had a missed coverage or two. We played wrongly, incorrectly. And when you have a big play, that to me was the big plays in the first half. And it was and the wide screens. In the second half, we played better, but we didn't stop them running the ball. And then the final drive, obviously. Yeah, I mean, they're throwing the ball very quick. You know, the biggest thing they got to me on the boots is when he had time to throw. You got to get off those blocks, those run blocks, and you got to pressure. You got to bring pressure off the edge to get in a quarterback's face in the boots. We never were able to do that. We got outplayed. We got outcoached. There's no doubt about it. And we got to find a way to win that game at the end. We had a chance to win it at the end. We had the interception. I thought it looked like we had it won, but we didn't. Yeah, you can only put 46 guys up. He was here for a week. You know, we had Za'Darius Smith working hard, and told Za'Darius to give some speed out there, which he did, and that's where it was at. Well, that was big. Yeah, that was obviously very important to do the math. That's 7 points there. I didn't see a replay of it. Did you guys see it? I asked the official about it. He said it should be, the guy on the sideline did make the call, said it needs to be egregious. You know, it needs to be big in that situation. You know, so I have to look at it and see if that's what it looked like. I mean, I thought it was a great play by Will Hill. He had position and made one of those, you know, great NFL football plays. And I thought we had the game won there. Okay, thanks.
But Ravens head coach John Harbaugh, you know, was it egregious? No. But since the beginning of time, you can't make any contact with a wide receiver after 5 yards. And this is a league designed to protect the offense. And that play, in that situation, that flag being thrown, you know what it's called? It's called knowing the situation. You know, I mean, that's what it is. Does Will Hill make the interception without the contact there, whether the receiver ran into Will Hill or whether Will Hill didn't back? I don't know. But I know this. I know there are plenty of other plays that could have been made before then that were not made. Again, yesterday, Joe Flacco was a solid performance. He had a solid performance yesterday. I mean, he was good in everything he did yesterday, with the exception of a couple of throws that I thought he should have had. Kamar Aiken on one, Steve Smith on two. I mean, Flacco at times must think Smith is like 6'6". You know, it was hot. It was a hazy afternoon in Oakland. And as usual, Flacco was cool in the pocket. The offensive line was great. The Raiders barely touched Joe. And you know what? You know, he had a completion percentage over 70%. He threw for 350 yards. He had a couple of touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating over 100 on the road. And that's something not a lot of NFL quarterbacks can do. I don't care who you're playing or what, you know, where you're playing. So it was a good performance yesterday by Joe Flacco. The running backs yesterday, Justin Forsett, he had 4.5 yards per carry yesterday. I thought that he was good on blocking yesterday. I thought he did a good job there. Picked up some crucial first downs for the football team. All in all, I like the way that Lorenzo Talaferro played yesterday, getting in the end zone the way that he did. He showed good burst up the middle, north and south yesterday, so I like that. Of course, what can you say about Crockett Gilmore? If you follow the progression of a guy like Crockett Gilmore, I think this is something that you could see coming, to be honest with you, with Crockett Gilmore and Joe Flacco. Crockett Gilmore just strikes me as that type of a player. The offensive line, again, good yesterday. Not so good week one. 100% improvement yesterday. And then where do you begin? With the defense in terms of grades and their evaluations. Look, obviously no Terrell Suggs yesterday. But Terrell Suggs doesn't play cornerback. So, you know, and as quickly as David Carr was getting rid of the football yesterday, as quickly as that Oakland offense yesterday was making plays and getting rid of the football, I don't know that Terrell Suggs could have made a difference or would have made a difference yesterday. You know, speed hasn't been Suggs' greatest asset in the last 2 years, so I don't know that he would have been that much of a difference maker yesterday. Elvis Dumervil, Courtney Upshaw, they didn't lay a finger on David Carr yesterday. So I'm pretty damn sure Terrell Suggs probably wouldn't have either. I'd love to play of C.J. Mosley. Obviously, we know what he did last year. Great week last week. But to me, I want to see C.J. Mosley step up even more as a leader of this defense. It's not going to be Jimmy Smith. It's just not going to be Jimmy Smith. He doesn't strike me as the type. To me, I know that C.J. Mosley's got that cool, calm, and collected demeanor, and we've got that type of leader on the offensive side of the football, but C.J. Mosley's got to become the leader of this defense. He just does. It's his defense for now and for the foreseeable future of this franchise. No, he's not 5'2". No, he's not even 5'5 in his prime yet, but you know what? C.J. Mosley is going to be the guy that leads this defense into the future. So he needs to be the leader of it. And what a better time to start after a performance like yesterday than right now. Because you know what? It certainly isn't going to get any easier. And neither is C.J. Mosley's job this coming weekend. Because to me, one of the best all-around backs in the National Football League puts his feet on the turf at M&T Bank Stadium on Sunday in Jeremy Hill. And we saw how C.J. Mosley struggled against one of the other better all-around backs in the National Football League last year as a rookie against Le'Veon Bell in coverage and things that, you know, he was required to do against Le'Veon Bell and struggled. Let's hear from the other side of the equation here. Let's hear from a happy and jubilant Raiders locker room head coach Jack Del Rio.
That's grit. Yeah, baby. It's all day. You don't win the game in the first quarter, you don't win in the second quarter, you don't win in the third quarter. You stay in it, fight it. Man, awesome. Way to get that done. Right there. That is sweet, man. That is grit. That is grit. That is determination. That is emptying your bucket. I saw so many cases of guys emptying their bucket, man. That was special, man. Way to go, okay.
For your first win, man, this is yours. Appreciate it.
Hey, listen, we're just getting started, man. Yeah. I'm gonna hand the game.
That's Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio. Here's his rookie quarterback, David Carr, showing mad respect to the Baltimore Ravens.
Not ashamed. Right. Oh, my goodness, yes. Emotional, I think that's to say the least. We knew it was going to be a fight. Obviously, Baltimore, you know, they've been in the playoffs how many times in the past, you know, 7-8 years? They got a Super Bowl MVP quarterback, great defense, very physical defense. You know, we knew it was going to be a challenging day, but you know, it just makes me so happy to see my teammates fight the way we did. Oh, I got really hot. I got really hot. A little too hot, and so I needed to cool down any way that I could, so I just had them cut them off. No, that's why I wear sleeves all the time. So I try and hide them. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you know, it's that's a tough play too. You know, that's a tough play, the way that it happened. But all I was saying is, man, just give us a chance. Please, Lord, just give us a chance. And, you know, I'm thankful that our defense held up. And Coach Del Rio did a great job with the timeouts. You know, I think the clock management was awesome to give us that much time and the ball back. And then after that, man, you know, we just told the guys in the huddle, believe it, man. We've done this 1,000 times. Believe it. And they did a great job of making plays.
That's Oakland Raider quarterback David Carr. Let me let you in on a little secret, too. There's another team in this division that has a hard time out there in Oakland. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their last two trips to the black hole, in fact, their last three trips to the black hole, they haven't won. Steelers lost in 2012 and 2013. They lost 34-31 in 2012 and 21-18 in 2013. So, look, this is a good young football team, and you've got to give a little bit of credit to David Carr. Amari Cooper is going to be a great wide receiver in this league, and David Carr is going to be a pretty good quarterback in this league. He's got potential to be a great quarterback in this league. He does. I believe that the day he was drafted, and I believe it now. I think the thing that makes a lot of this, you know, the Ravens always seem to get those weird-ass stats against him. Carr, who threw the 12-yard touchdown pass to Seth Roberts with 26 seconds left to play, which gave the Raiders the 4-point win over our boys. That was the Raiders' longest game-winning touchdown play in the final minute of the fourth quarter in 33 years. Not since Jim Plunkett connected with Calvin Muhammad for a 35-yard game winner with 25 seconds to play at Kansas City in 1982. Have the Raiders done anything remotely close to that? So, congratulations. We were on the wrong side of Raiders history yesterday. How about the man yesterday that had a pretty damn good day in Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco? Let's hear from Joe Cool and get his thoughts on a Ravens tough loss.
Yeah, well, it's tough. At the end of the day, it's two losses no matter when you play them. So, you know, we're going to have to look at some positives. But, you know, obviously right now we're not playing good enough as a team to win football games, and that's what happens. You lose games. Oh, yeah, obviously. I let it go, and the guy fell down and didn't leave Steve too much room, so. Would have made a little bit of difference there at the end. They would have had to score a touchdown just to send it in overtime, and we'd probably still be playing at the least.
Joe, this is the first time you've been 0-2 in your career. How much of a challenge is it that it's going to be to dig out of that?
Yeah, well, you got to take it one game at a time. You know, we're not going to be able to get 2-2, 3-2, 4-2, you know, in 1 week. You know, we have a tough road ahead, and got to take it 1 week at a time and get one back, claw our way back into it. We've been in tough spots before, and we just got to make sure that we keep our head down and, you know, don't lose any confidence in this situation and, you know, stay tight-knit and all that stuff.
There was a difference of 100 yards last week back to another 400 this week. Was it just better protection or?
I think it's a lot of things. I don't think you can narrow it down to one thing. Both came up swinging. I thought our offensive line did a great job protecting, creating some holes in there out of the gun for Justin. It was a combination of a lot of things, and I thought, you know, we played well today, but obviously it wasn't good enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Crockett was big for us down in the red zone. Give him the ball and let him try to tackle him. Obviously, they're having a tough time tackling him right now, so he's going to be a big red zone target, and we just got to find a way to, you know, convert those field goals into a couple more touchdowns. Yeah, I mean, Kamara's a good player, no doubt about it. So I have all the confidence in the world in him. It's good to see him get out there and have a lot of success and hopefully catapult him forward.
Joe, I know you've been great in your career to move on and try to put stuff in the past, but do you ever think the last two games offense had the ball driving and wasn't able to pull out victory? Does that linger with you at all?
Of course. You know, this was a little bit of a different situation, but obviously we'd like to do the best we can, and you know, given that. No matter how well or how bad you play, when you have a chance at the end, you come up a little bit too short. It obviously hits you a little bit. Stinks.
That's Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco talking about the team's performance yesterday. Joe is Joe. I mean, he's not gonna talk about the numbers he put up yesterday. It's a loss, and at the end of the day, there are plays that even still, based off of Joe's performance yesterday, a couple of plays I felt like Joe had to come up with that he didn't. That doesn't mean I'm laying the loss at Flacco's feet. I mean, save the emails, please. The boneheaded play of the day yesterday, no question about it, belongs to Tim Jernigan. Lorenzo Talaferro returned to the lineup yesterday. He had a pretty successful return. As much as Talaferro's return was a good one, is as bad as Timmy Jernigan's was. Concerned about Timmy Jernigan? I don't know what's going to happen here. I saw it written today that after finally taking over Haloti Ngata's starting job in a regular season game, just as he did at the end of 2014, but he didn't make a tackle. He did have two quarterback hits and the boneheaded play of the day, a back-breaking 15-yard roughing the passer on the final drive of the game that gave the Raiders 15 additional yards. You cannot make those types of mistakes. I can appreciate the fact you want to play the game and get after the quarterback, but that's simply a lack of not knowing the situation. Your stats are brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Warehouse and FAN and the FAN Up Network. Much better statistically speaking for the Ravens yesterday from the offensive side of the football. Justin Forsett yesterday, 15 carries, 68 yards, 4.5-yard carry. His longest rush yesterday was 16 yards. Talaferro, 7 for 34. His longest was a 7-yarder, which was the Ravens' lone rushing touchdown yesterday. Talaferro, nearly 5 yards a carry. Javoris Buck Allen, 1 carry, 5 yards. Flacco, 2 carries, 2 yards. Passing yesterday, Joe Flacco, 32 of 45, 384 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. That interception, killer. Quarterback rating of a 102.5. Yesterday, Steve Smith targeted 16 times, ended up with 10 receptions for 150 yards. It's a 15-yard average. His longest of the day was a 37-yarder. He didn't have any touchdowns. Kamar Aiken targeted 7 times, 5 catches, 89 yards. That's a 17.8-yard average. His longest of the day yesterday, 38 yards. He didn't have any touches either. Crockett Gilmore, your Fantasy Sports Warehouse player of the game yesterday, targeted 6 times, hit 5 receptions for 88 yards. That's a 17.6-yard average. His longest of the day, a 38-yarder. He had both of the Ravens receiving touchdowns yesterday. Other receivers of note yesterday, Marlon Brown was targeted 4 times, 2 catches for 12 yards, and that's pretty much it in terms of anything significant there yesterday. The opponents yesterday, Latavius Murray, 15 rushing attempts, 65 yards, 1 touchdown for the Raiders. David Carr, 30 of 46, 351, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Of course, the 68-yarder, Amari Cooper, the long one of the day for him. He finished with a quarterback rating of a 100.9. Michael Crabtree, whom Jimmy Smith got the better of, shall we say, in Super Bowl 47, was targeted 16 times yesterday like Steve Smith was. He hauled in 9 receptions for 111 yards. That's a 12.3-yard average. A 37-yarder was his longest. He had 1 touchdown. The rookie from Alabama, Amari Cooper, was targeted 11 times. He had 7 catches for 109 yards, including the 68-yarder. The Raiders had 3 receivers over 50 yards yesterday, 2 over 100. Holmes had 4 targets, 3 catches for 50 yards. Your other touchdown on the day, Seth Roberts, 1 catch, 1 target, 12-yard touchdown pass. We all know when that one came. Your final team statistics for yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens, 29 first downs in yesterday's game. That was two more better than the Oakland Raiders, but 27. The Ravens got 7 by running the football, 17 by passing the football, and 5 via the penalty. The Oakland Raiders, as I said, with 27 first downs yesterday, 4 on the ground, 17 in the air, 6 via the penalty. The Ravens in this third down percentage just suck. 4 out of 11 yesterday for 36%. The Raiders killed the Ravens on third down yesterday. The Raiders were 9 out of 14 for 64% yesterday, although the Ravens were 2 out of 2 on fourth down yesterday. Total net yards in this one, the Ravens with 493, the Raiders with 448. You look down the list here and red zone efficiency yesterday, the Ravens were 2 out of 6 for 33%, while the Raiders were 2 out of 3 for 67%. Goal-to-go efficiency yesterday, the Ravens, they just, whatever you want to call it, in the bed yesterday, 0 for 2. That's an obvious nothing percentage. The Raiders were 1 for 2. That's 50%. Final score, of course, 37-33. In time of possession yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens owned the time of possession on the clock on the road. The Ravens possessed the football for 30 minutes and 27 seconds yesterday, while the Oakland Raiders possessed it 29 minutes and 33 seconds. The real killer of the game yesterday, really when you take a look at this thing, this football team continues under this current regime to not be able to get games started. You know, whether you want to say they start slow or look, to come out in the second half, I don't know what the hell Mark Trestman was thinking on some of those play calling. The Ravens come out in the second half. They're 3 and out. But to start this game yesterday, ridiculous. You can't go on the road after having spent the entire week out west preparing for this. And then when you give up a 68-yard touchdown, and then you fumble the ball back to the team, and then right before you know it, you're down 10 to nothing. That's a surefire-ass way to lose a football game. And, well, that's exactly what happened to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. While they were able to tie this thing up, it was just a catch-up scenario for this football team all day long. And I think John Harbaugh really described it best yesterday when he said that the Raiders kept his football team on their heels all day long. And that's just not the defensive side of the football. The offense had to perform that way as well. Because, you know, surprisingly, when the Ravens are generally forced to play the way they had to yesterday, which is catch-up football all day long, we don't see this type of performance from that offense yesterday. I thought even when you look at being down in a 10-0 hole on the road, even for Joe Flacco having put in the ball in the air 45 times yesterday, usually you don't see 25 rushing attempts from this football team, but you did yesterday. And I thought it was a well-called game by Mark Trestman, other than at spots like to start the third quarter yesterday. I don't know what the hell he was thinking there. We've already talked about Dean Pease and maybe what he could have done a little bit differently yesterday, especially in perhaps maybe throwing some confusion at the young quarterback, which just didn't happen. But then again, you got to consider your personnel, and you have to consider what they're running. And they didn't sit and wait for anything yesterday. The Raiders didn't. A lot of wide receiver screens. It was a lot of quick slants, a lot of yak for this football team yesterday, although they got the big 68-yarder from Carter Cooper. But this, I don't know, you know, I thought the Ravens went after the football well at times yesterday, jumping up in the air, trying to bat it down. I mean, it's not as if they didn't see it coming. They knew, but they just couldn't make plays, and that's just simply having a lack of playmakers. And then the Ravens' defensive line, that front 7-6-7 there, just dominated yesterday. I mean, they just didn't and couldn't get any penetration whatsoever on that Oakland offense. They couldn't do it. And ultimately, and in the end, it's what killed this football team yesterday. I mean, it's like, what comes first, ladies and gentlemen, the chicken or the egg scenario here? do you have to get a pass rush to help your secondary, or does your secondary have to cover to help get – I mean, you know, one or the other would have been nice yesterday at times, one or the other. But, you know, other than the one interception by Will Hill, really in which the Ravens just absolutely clunked out and failed to capitalize on, you know, an all-around effort of a C-minus by this football team when you factor in what the defense did and even all of the yards the offense put up. He scored 33 points on the road. It's inexcusable, as our good friend Brian Bauer said on Twitter yesterday, inexcusable to lose a football game. So let's listen to head coach John Harbaugh's press conference from today, the Monday presser. We'll take a break. We'll come back and hear Crockett Gilmore's two big plays. This is about a 10-minute presser, so let's hear from Harbs.
We had a five-hour plane ride last night coming back, and I know every single guy on the team watched the tape. I know every single coach on the team watched the tape. Back at it again this morning, studying the tape, and on the Cincinnati here in the last few hours. And that's what you have to do in National Football League. We got to go forward. We have every opportunity, you know, to accomplish what we need to accomplish. We just have to get better. You know, we have to find a way to make the plays we need to make when we need to make them. And hopefully at home we can do those things.
Any thoughts given now, given the results of this game, to reevaluating whether or not you're going to stay out west for the second trip?
Not given the results of the game so much, Joe, as, you know, how it impacts us in the next. It's a longer trip. You know, usually when you go west, you go 2 days early, which we'll do in San Francisco, and then we don't play till Monday night. So we'll look at that in the next couple of days and make a decision.
Two penalties against you guys on the last drive, Will Hill, and then also Jordan Ruckman and Ben. You obviously watched the tape, wanted to see what your impressions were of both of those penalties.
Yeah, I didn't. Timmy Jernigan one was a foolish penalty, really inexcusable. There's no reason for that whatsoever. Any time during the game, but especially in 2 minutes. But that was just a way late hit. It's just, I don't understand that one. Hurt us. The other one, I'm still looking for it. I don't see it on tape. So I'm not sure what to tell Will on that. Looked like a good play to me.
John, is it a little tougher because in the first game the offense struggled, and then in the second game it was the defense. So there's not really one unit to specify. It's more or less got to go both ways there.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, none of us played well enough to win either game. That's how I look at it. I mean, you can look at it that way, and I think it's fair to do that. I guess you can look at it from a negative perspective or a positive perspective that way. You know, what are we capable of being? Who are we really? That's what we're going to find out over the course of the next few weeks. Which one's it going to be?
John, on the positive side, Crockett Gilmore had a really strong game, specifically in the first half. Is that kind of what you, as an organization, have been so excited to finally see that come to fruition?
Right. Crockett, you know, he's played pretty well both games, and to see him make the plays he's capable of making, you know, he's a heck of a blocker, and he can continue to improve there. He's still young. He can make plays out in the field. He's got range. He's a big, strong, athletic guy. You know, he had obviously the catch and run plays were pretty impressive. But still, there were things in there that he's got to do better, and he'll be the first to tell you. You know, he's looking at some assignment issues and some technique issues that he's got to improve on. So that's really what we look at. You take everybody where they're at right now and try to improve on what they're doing.
John, it did look like Rashad Perryman was doing a lot more in the pregame yesterday. Does that suggest he's maybe close to coming back?
Not that I've been told. I've got no update on it.
John, it's pretty tough in the National Football League to plan things exactly the way you'd like them. When Anquan Boldin left very early that next season, you had two key injuries to Jacoby Jones and then to Dennis Pitta. Is it similar with the defense, with the decision to deal Nada and then Suggs goes down?
I haven't really given that any thought. That's a pretty deep question. You know, to make that comparison, I'm probably not prepared to do that.
John, the results aside, were you happy with the way it went out west? I mean, with the fact that you didn't have the travel and everything. I mean, despite the 0-2, maybe that was just the only negative about what went on out there?
I was happy with our guys. You know, first of all, the organization. You know, Dave, I appreciate you bringing that back up again, but the organization was phenomenal. You know, Steve Bisciotti making the commitment to do that. The the people involved. I mean, our equipment guys, our firemen, our trainers, the Bob Eller, Joan, and the people in the organization that do the things to make the trips, you know, work, all the behind-the-scenes effort that goes into it. I told the team, you know, during the week that when you have a chance to be here all together for the entire week, you see how much goes into a football game, a National Football League game. How much effort from the players, from the coaches. I know the players saw the coaches working Monday and Tuesday putting the game plan together. Coaches saw the players coming in and watching tape. Our players were committed. I mean, we had guys, our guys were in the hotel working on football all week. You know, would have loved to reap the benefits of that and been able to stand up here and talk about, you know, what a plus that was in winning two football games. But we're not able to do that because we didn't get the job done. But from the effort, the work ethic, we can stand on that foundation going forward. I think we came a long way as a football team over the course of the week, and I'm proud of the way the organization handled it. So we just got to keep building on it. We got to find a way to improve.
You said earlier to Joe's question that you would evaluate it and assess this, but is there a chance that you wouldn't go back, or what would the factors be that you wouldn't do that between San Francisco and Arizona?
We'll just try to do what's best. I don't have the list of the factors in front of me, you know, and I really don't see the value of detailing all that out. I think we'll make a decision in the next couple of days what we think is going to be best for us, and it's not a big deal, you know. If we go, we'll do it. If we stay, it'll be because, you know, us and the players, you know, feel like it'll be the best thing. And if we don't, it'll be because we'd rather get back here and be in our home confines, you know, which is best, especially in a long week. If it's a short week, it'd be a no-brainer to stay out there. When it's a long week, you know, it becomes a little bit of a decision.
You face another talented group of receivers this week again with Cincinnati. What have you seen from them as far as their receiving core?
Well, we've seen a lot of them, you know, over the years. They've got a lot of really good receivers. They've got weapons. You know, I tell you, I do believe it's the most talented team in the league. You know, I've seen that over the years. Have great respect for them, for their coaches. You know, the way they play. You know, and obviously it starts with AJ Green, but the whole cast of characters there on offense is just very talented and gifted. Tight ends, running backs, quarterback. The whole group is very good. And they got a heck of an offensive line. So I'd say they're the complete package, talent wise.
John, I know you expect to have Jason Babin in the mix moving forward. You know, he's just arrived last week. But Elvis played, I think it was his highest number of snaps with you guys. I realize he was a full-time player in Denver, but how much of that is a challenge now, wanting to continue to generate pass rush and production from him and Courtney, but also realizing there's an equation to keeping everyone fresh, not just in a single game, but over the course of a season?
Yeah, I think that's always a factor, you know, really always on defense. You know, and putting guys out there, the optimal number of reps, and having enough players to be able to do that. If you got enough guys to do that, it sure makes it easier and better to do that. So, whatever players we think can help us are going to be out there, and we've got some options. We've got some guys we like, and we'll try to find a way to, you know, get those guys on the field and get them contributing.
John, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but is there a comfort being back home as you try to dig out of this hole?
It's good to be home. You know, you get 8 at home and 8 on the road, so we're looking forward to getting 1 at home this week and seeing if we can make the most of it.
So I know you guys, you know, like give up big plays and give up one to Cooper right off the bat. I was just curious, did that affect anything going forward, the way you guys played as well? I don't know, maybe giving more cushion or changing coverage or not?
Well, I don't think one play determines how you play a game plan, but if you look at the defensive situation, you know, what happened on defense, it's not hard to figure out what happened. You know, we had missed tackles, we had missed assignments, we had breakdowns in coverage, we had missed alignments. We played, you know, about as unsound as you can play in a lot of different ways. We had effort for the most part, but I'll even say we didn't have the kind of effort we need to have. You know, on defense, kind of all-out flying around effort that we expect from Ravens defense. And our defense played the way we expect them to play the week before, and they didn't play the way we expect them to play this week. And if we're going to have a chance to be a successful football team, our defense has got to step up and play like the Ravens play. And that's the expectation. That's what the bar is set. And we're going to have the guys out there to do that. And it's on us as coaches to put the right guys out there, teach them to do the right things, and have the right schemes in place. I mean, if guys aren't lining up right, you know, that's on us. It's It's on them and us. It's on us together, all of us, coaches and players together. It's our job to get that fixed. You know, it's not the fans' job. It's not the media's job. It's our job, and we need to get it done. You know, we expect to play great defense around here, and that's just not what we did on Sunday.
John, what did you see from Za'Darius Smith, his first NFL game after being inactive in the open?
I saw okay, average play. You know, he gave a little effort, you know, and he was out there. So just like everybody else, they all got to play better.
John, when you look at the struggles you guys had generating a consistent pass rush, is that a matter of the guys you have playing better? Is it a matter of finding new designs? I mean, what's going to be the key for you guys in looking at that going forward?
Well, it starts with, you know, the offense. The offense is designed to get the ball out in that game. So we've had this conversation many times before in these press conferences. When a team is determined to get the ball out fast, then you're not going to get a lot of hits, quarterback hits, and you're not going to get a lot of sacks. What you have to do is defend those quick throws. And we didn't defend the quick throws as well as we needed because of the missed tackles and some of the missed alignments. So if you force those throws to be no gains, one gain, minus 2, 3-yard gains, when the ball is coming out fast, then you force them to hold the ball a little bit longer to gain some yards, and you get to the quarterback. That's the number one issue there. We didn't play the boots particularly well. I think he had way too much time on the boots. He was able to stand back there on the keepers and the boots almost forever and throw the ball. So we got to figure out how to get that changed. But I think from a pass rush standpoint, those are the two situations: the quick throws and the boots.
Ravens head coach John Harbaugh in his Monday presser. You heard John, he alluded to on many occasions there, the missed tackles, the Ravens with 11 of them yesterday, and the boots we talked about already at the top of the show, the one in particular that gave the Raiders a 30-23 lead, I believe, where David Carr just sprinted to his left, turned, threw what looked to be a punt out of his arm, and there were just three Ravens receivers. Each, you could draw a circle around them. They were about 10 yards from the intended receiver who, you know, of course, hauled in the pass and scored a touchdown. But, yeah, not a good performance yesterday. And, of course, again, the boneheaded play of the day yesterday, Timmy Jernigan, a mind-numbingly stupid late hit on Derek Carr. You know, you can't have these things. And it'll be said, an interesting thing to watch what happens between what the Ravens do with the Arizona trip later on in the season. You know, whether they stay out west or not, I don't know. But I know this, it didn't work. Nothing about staying out there worked for this football team. They didn't win a football game. They didn't look good in either game. Granted, you had a defense that looked good in week one and an offense that looked good in week two, but collectively as a team, they didn't look good as a team. So when you throw that factor in, this trip was a failure. So you've got to do something different next time. Maybe it was the fact that it was, you know, I don't know what it was, honestly. You know, but I think you just, you know what, in this day and age, you put your ass on an airplane and you come home, you practice in your friendly confines, you get back on an airplane, and you go back out there. If you want to go back out a day or two early, fine, whatever. But I staying out there all week long, it didn't work. It was a nice try. It made sense. I mean, there's nothing about it that didn't make sense, right? I mean, I think if had the Ravens won, it had been the model with which all teams would operate going forward, but they didn't. So it cannot be considered a success. And I think you heard John Harbaugh stop short on not one, not two, but three occasions of saying that it was a success, because it's not when that happens. It's just not. So you have to rethink your options as to what you're going to do the next time around. And, we'll see how it works out when the Ravens get to Arizona and then have to figure out whether or not they're going to go back into California or come back to Baltimore. Your stats that mattered yesterday, NFL, from the NFL, Flacco efficient in the loss. Flacco terms of an ESPN quarterback rating was a 75.4. That's from a 1 to a 100 versus the Raiders. That was his third highest rating in a loss in his career. He's lost those three games by a combined 8 points, by the way. Joe Flacco completed 4 of his first 9 passes, thrown at least 15 yards downfield for 124 yards yesterday. However, his deep pass intended for Steve Smith with 26 seconds left was intercepted to seal the win for the Raiders. Flacco has thrown 17 interceptions at least 15 yards downfield since 2013. That's tied for third most in the league. And then, of course, Derek Carr threw a career-high 351 yards yesterday. Carr was 7 of 9 for 142 yards and a touchdown on play-action passes. His most such passing yards in his career. Carr was 5 of 7 for 100 yards and a touchdown while under duress. I don't know what the hell this statistic considers duress. His 14.5 yards per attempt on such throws are a career high, and Carr was 9 of 12 for 112 yards and a touchdown on third down, converting 8 for first downs. And that's really the statistic defensively that continues to haunt this football team. Slow starts. You want to know what's left over from last year? Piss poor third down conversion rates from the defense and the offense, and slow starts. Still two things that John Harbaugh and his staff, whomever they are, just simply have not been able to figure out to this point. And I'm going to take a caller. Lord only knows who this could be. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Alan? This is Jared.
Jared, what's up, man? Let's get your thoughts on this one. And look, this is what I don't want. Let me tell you what I don't want. All right?
Okay.
I don't want excuses. I don't want my Ravens. I want to know what happened yesterday and how it gets fixed.
I got to be honest with you, Alan. And I'm going to be as real as I can possibly be with you right now. Until this football team develops some type of physicality, this particular squad will not win a world championship, period. It's just that simple.
Well, Jerry, you're talking world championship. I mean, without the physical play that this team needs, this team's not even going to make the playoffs, much less a Super Bowl. Let me ask you this question. You watched the game yesterday. I know you were upset with head coach Dean Pease, his play calling yesterday, and after I went back and watched a little bit of the game tape myself, I felt like that maybe possibly Pease didn't do enough to confuse David Carr. But then again, with how fast the Raiders were wanting to get the football out of Carr's hand yesterday, I don't think there was a whole lot that could have been done. This was a game where the Ravens had to have playmakers. Who are the playmakers on this football team?
Oh, my God, man. Honestly, right now, nobody. Because nobody stepped up. Nobody has stepped up, has stepped up to make plays, especially on this defense. Let me explain something to a lot of other, I guess, fan bases around this, you know, around the league. For the past 15 years, well, actually, you know what? No, I'm excluding these 3 years. For the past 12 years, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, Haloti Ngata, they were the backbone of a defense that was physical, roughed you up, smacked you around, punched you in the face, and bullied you for 12 straight years. Even when Haloti Ngata got there in 2006, and even when T. Sizzle got there in 2003, and Ed in 2002, for about 12 years straight, defense top 10, maybe even top 5. For the past 2 seasons, this defense has gotten bullied, they've gotten punked, and they've gotten pushed around. And bottom line, I got to be honest with you. Until this defense develops some kind of bully mentality, the rest of this league is not going to be scared of us. I don't give a damn who you have on defense. It does not matter. Until this defense develops some kind of physicality, man up, we're going to take this game from you instead of you giving it to us. This defense will be exactly what this defense was yesterday. Average, you know, below average, and not intimidating at all, period.
Looking at the defense, I'm going to give Ravens fans, and I'm going to give you a light at the end of the tunnel here with this defense, okay? Here's a light at the end of the tunnel here, all right? Now, I am by no stretch of the imagination am I going to compare David Carr to Tom Brady or none of that. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to tell you is this. I'm going to tell you to take a look at a game plan yesterday at the New England Patriots Incorporated. The New England Patriots have Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman, and really, I mean, anybody else, for all intent and purpose, are no-name receivers, okay? But you look at the game plan yesterday. Last year, the Buffalo Bills led the National Football League with 54 sacks. Nobody in this league, and go back to week one with what they did against Andrew Luck, nobody in this league, especially with a head coach like Rex Ryan, gets after the quarterback more than that Buffalo Bills team will do yesterday. What the New England Patriots did yesterday to the Buffalo Bills is essentially the same exact thing the Oakland Raiders did to the Baltimore Ravens, and that was every time Tom Brady got that ball in his hand, he turned and he threw it. And every time Jim Carr got that ball in his hand, he turned and he threw it. And if he didn't turn and throw it, he took advantage of the conditions. And what I mean by that is he took advantage of the hot, hazy afternoon in Oakland, and he booted out left and he booted out right. And the Ravens couldn't chase him down. They were dead to rights. They couldn't chase him down. My disappointment comes really in the secondary's play yesterday because when you have that type of game plan, there's not a whole lot that your front six, four or five or six guys can do. Yeah, you'd like to see him make a play, but I really think that Jimmy Smith yesterday really thought he was going to come into this game yesterday and chew up and spit out a rookie wide receiver, and in the end, Jerry, it ended up being the other way around. Smith gets beat on a 68-yard touchdown. He commits two penalties yesterday, including a personal foul and sportsmanlike conduct penalty, and the rookie got the better of Jimmy Smith yesterday. So, you know what? Jimmy Smith regressed yesterday in my mind. I don't think Smith's ready to be the leader of this defense. Who do you think needs to be the leader of this defense?
Honestly, just based off of experience and just veteran savvy, as much as it pains me to say this, I got to say Elvis Dumervil and Chris Canty. Honestly, just off of default alone. Because those guys, because our defense is young. We have a very, very young defense. So the only guys on that defense that I can honestly say are leader material, Chris Canty, Elvis Dumervil, and even Daryl Smith. And Daryl Smith doesn't even talk that much. He just goes out and plays, which is actually what I like. I like a guy who doesn't run his mouth and just goes out and plays. It all comes back to the reality of film. You can watch as much film as you want to at the end of the day, but film does not prepare you for the real thing. It doesn't. You can watch all the film in the world that you want to, but a film as much as that team watched film on during the week last week, Derek Carr carved that secondary up like a Christmas tree. He ripped that secondary apart, and here's the thing that kind of blows my mind a little bit. The secondary is intact. No injuries, no substitutions. Secondary is intact, and Derek Carr still carved up that secondary for over 300 yards. And it just until this secondary, our secondary is horrible at tackling. I mean, it is god awful. I remember one particular play in the game. Kendrick Lewis penetrated in the backfield, went to go tackle Latavius Murray, had him wrapped up 3 or 4 yards in the backfield by his leg, and whiffed and missed. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how do you penetrate that beautifully into the backfield
but then you whiff on a tackle like that. Three Ravens had a chance to bring him down. Three. And all three failed. So,
does it scare you, Jared, that last week in week one against the Cincinnati Bengals and the Oakland Raiders, I don't know that a lot of Ravens fans know this, but do you know that the Oakland Raiders didn't get into Cincinnati territory until the fourth quarter of that football game? It took them exactly 10 seconds yesterday to get into Ravens territory. Does it make you nervous? Because Cincinnati, right now, they're the best team in this division, offensively, defensively, and they're coming into M&T Bank Stadium, where last year, yes, I know they swept the Ravens by a combined just 10 points last year. The previous 2 years, the two teams split. But these next two games, regardless of where the Ravens are right now, 0-2, 1-1, 2-0, they worry me a little bit, because I don't think the Ravens are as good as the Bengals are at the moment.
Right now, you couldn't be further from you couldn't have told the truth any better than that, Alan. Right now, the Bengals scare the living hell out of me. Seriously, they do, but realistically, I gotta be honest. We're coming home. We're coming back to the so-called friendly confines of the castle. We're coming back to M&T. Honestly, it's not even about wins or losses at this point, and I know it's early in the season. Me personally, I'm not panicking. I'm really not, because it's, like I said before, it's early in the season. Right, exactly. So it's early in the season, but right now, it's about pride. It's about pride. It ain't even about numbers. It's not about wins. It's about pride at this point. Either you fight your way out of this hole, and you continue to keep digging and digging and digging, because at some point, we're going to get a couple of weapons back in Rashad Perryman. And even Dennis Pitta is going to come back now. I don't know if Dennis Pitta is going to be, the Dennis Pitta that he was before he suffered his two hip injuries. But I think Dennis Pitta is going to be a serviceable tight end. And when Bashaud Perryman comes back, I'm not saying Bashaud Perryman is going to be a world beater by no stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying that at all. But I think Bashaud Perryman is going to be somewhat of a spark and somewhat serviceable. So at some point, right now, it looks like, oh, my gosh, this team is going to even win six games. And, the Ravens look like garbage. And will this team even make the playoffs? All these cliché negative remarks that are being made about this football team. There is nothing that pisses the football team off more than the rest of a country who's doubting them. And I guarantee you there are a lot of naysayers out there yapping off at the mouth, saying, you know what, they lost to the Oakland Raiders yesterday. But here's the thing about the Oakland Raiders that a lot of people don't realize. For the last 5 years, maybe even longer than that, the Raiders have had a pretty good defense. And that's the one thing that people are sleeping on when it comes to Oakland. Oakland's defense has been very, very good the last few years. The only problem with them is that they didn't have the appropriate weapons, and they didn't have a quarterback to help to finish the completion of that team.
Here's the thing: the Raiders finished dead last in the NFL last year in total offense, and guess what? They entered yesterday's game with that same designation. We're dead last in the league in offense coming into yesterday. But listen, I got to cut you loose, because I need to talk about what happened the last time Ray Lewis, Peter, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, and Terrell Suggs weren't on the field. You can hang on for this one real quick. The last time you saw the stat yesterday, the last time that that those three guys or not one of those three guys were on the football field for the Baltimore Ravens was October the 11th, 1998, against Tennessee Oilers. The Ravens played that game at Ravens Stadium at Camden Yards, it was called at the time. And the Tennessee Oilers would get a 12-8 victory over the Ravens. This is when the Ravens started to build a little bit of defense. In that game there, your scoring drives, how about this? How about you had four field goals, two from Al Del Greco, two from Matt Sover. Rob Burnett sacked Steve McNair in the end zone, which gave the Ravens an early 2-0 lead. Later on in the first quarter, Steve McNair, God rest his soul, bolted 40 yards for a touchdown. There were 14 punts in the game and just 29 total first downs from both teams. That's the last time that Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, or Terrell Suggs, at least one of them, weren't on the field for the Baltimore Ravens. Check this out. 29 total first downs. The Baltimore Ravens themselves yesterday had 29 first downs yesterday. 14 punts in that game back in 2011. The Oakland Raiders yesterday, they punted just twice. Jared, as always, call in every week, my friend. Thanks for calling, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Have the rest of a good show.
Thanks, buddy. Take care. That's number one Ravens fan out there, Jared Dawkins, calling in. Second week. If you got something you want to say, give me a call, 347-637-2812. And again, with the Cincinnati Bengals coming up, I'm a little worried, I must admit. I really am. I'm not ready. Still wouldn't be ready to write the Ravens off at 0-3. But, you know, since this current playoff format was instituted in 1990, 2.4% of the teams that started 0-3 made the playoffs. And that all happened back in the 1990s with the last team being the 1998 Buffalo Bills with Doug Flutie at quarterback, who, oh, by the way, beat the Ravens that year on a Halloween game at Ravens Stadium at Camden Yards that year. So, you know, look, this is not going to be an easy one to put behind you, and it's only going to compound it if the Ravens cannot beat the Bengals on Sunday. This is a good football team, this Bengals team coming in. They are clearly right now 3 weeks into a young NFL season after 2 weeks heading into week three. They are the best team in the AFC North. They've got one of the better all-around running backs in the NFL in Jeremy Hill. Well, Andy Dalton, this isn't the playoffs, so you know Andy Dalton still has the capacity to beat you. There's A.J. Green, who just got himself a nice long-term contract. There is Tyler Eifert, who is absolutely on fire for this football team. So, you know, I'd like to think that because this is going to be the home opener and because the Ravens are 0-2 and because they get to sleep in their own beds for the first time since the beginning of the month, that they're going to be a different football team. And there is light at the end of this tunnel, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, look, the defense has talent. They stymied a pretty good Denver Broncos offense in week one in Denver. I mean, they did. So there are playmakers on this team. Jimmy Smith with a pick six in that one. Look, one of my favorite expressions is even a blind squirrel finds a nut, right? Maybe yesterday was that nut the Oakland Raiders blind squirrel found against this Ravens defense yesterday. Maybe there was just something that the Raiders came out with that the Ravens were just totally unprepared for. It happens in this league from time to time. Unfortunately, it happens at a time that pushes the Ravens to an 0-2 mark for the first time in the John Harbaugh era with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers looming. The good news, I think, for the Ravens is the schedule coming up. Regardless of the fact that it's against you've got the Bengals, the Steelers on a short week in Pittsburgh, and then back home to Cleveland. I think the best thing for this football team right now is to play some familiarity. They've only lost to the Cleveland Browns one time in the John Harbaugh era. And even the Steelers, I mean, you look at what the Ravens and the Steelers have done, and it's well documented how they play each other. I mean, you can even go back to last season when the margin of victory was a combined 40 points in the regular season, but the teams each traded two 20-point victories. The previous five games in the series were decided by a combined 14 points. The only game between the teams decided by more than 6 points between December 2007 and the start of last season was a 35-7 Ravens win on September 11, 2001. And, of course, I mentioned the Browns. The Ravens are 13-1 against the Browns under John Harbaugh. But even those games are unusually close at times. The Ravens won two games against them by a combined 12 points last season. These games were going to be tough for this football team, whether the Ravens were 1-1, 2-0, or as they sit, 0-2. But I think even though as tough as, you know, there's no question the schedule makers didn't do the Ravens any favor starting them out west like they did. But now we face three foes we're extremely familiar with. I think we can expect three pretty good games coming up here. I would expect the Ravens, by the time that this stretch of games is over, I don't care who you want to beat twice and who you want to lose to once, it doesn't matter to me. But I think the Ravens go 2-1 over these next three games, which would put their record at 2-3, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay. So that's pretty much what that is. And, look, that's pretty much going to do it for tonight. Let's listen to the Fantasy Sports Warehouse plays, the two plays of the game yesterday. Here's the first.
Three receivers to the right, two to the left. Flacco alone in the backfield of the shotgun on second and seven. Quick release down the middle, complete. Crockett, Gilmore, 10, 5, lunges, touchdown.
And here's the second.
Three receivers to the right, two to the left. Flacco alone in the backfield of the shotgun on second and seven. Quick release down the middle, complete. Crockett, Gilmore, 10, 5, lunges, touchdown.
All right, so it's the same one. And here is the Fantasy Sports Warehouse player of the game, Crockett Gilmore.
It's extremely disappointing to lose it ever. To be, 0-2 is kind of gut wrenching for the way we work and the way we go about our business. But it's two games. We're gonna move on. Go to work tomorrow. This is what I felt like I've done from the first step that I took here with the Ravens last year and just continue doing practice and, correlates to the game. Absolutely. Anytime I catch the ball, I'm trying to score. If they don't wrap up, then it's going to be hard on them. So just drop my feet and found that goal line.
You talk a lot about, wanting to be an all-around tight end. I guess obviously you must see the work you've been doing paying off.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've always felt, I was all-around tight end. There was some other people that didn't know. It's really the same aspect. We're going to go to work tomorrow. We're not going to look at, week 9, week 8. We're going to go back to work, watch film, go back to work.
That's Ravens tight end Crockett Gilmore, who is our Fantasy Sports Warehouse player of the game yesterday. And, let's hope that they can figure this thing out. Let's hope we can find a little bit of the defense from week 1, a lot of the offense from week 2, and get a big win at home for the home opener against the Cincinnati Bengals coming up this Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium. Well, that's going to wrap it up here for Ravens Monday Night Quarterback. Our guest this evening will be with us next week. It's been a long, hectic 2 weeks for a lot of people. I gave our guests the options tonight, or two guests the options tonight, to come next week instead of having coming back from Oakland at midnight or 1 in the morning. And it's been a unique experience for a lot of people involved in this organization over the last 13 days. So we'll get back to some normalcy here on Ravens Monday Night Quarterback with our guests here in a couple of weeks, or next week actually, next Monday, following the home game against the Bengals. So now, I wasn't very much in a celebratory mood tonight anyway to be celebrating 20 seasons of Baltimore Ravens football. But with your win, lose, or draw, we will get back to that segment starting next week, I promise, with our two guests that I've been waiting a couple of weeks to come on, but again, it's just been a unique situation with the Ravens having traveled out west, stayed out west. Both of our guests that have been lined up stayed out west with the football team. So we'll have them on next week. Very excited about having them both on. Both very much a big part of this franchise from start to right now. So excited about that. So I would like to thank all of you. I'd like to thank Lupton Sports Collectibles. Again, please give Chris Lupton a call up there at Lupton's. Again, for your charities, for if you're just looking for a piece of sports memorabilia, luptonsports.com is where you need to go. They're on Hahn Road. An unbelievable service that they've performed. Give Chris a call at 443-695-118, Lupton Sports Collectibles. Check them out on Facebook, Lupton Sports Collectibles. And then again, 433 Hahn Road in Westminster, Maryland. That telephone number one more time, 443-695-4118. So thanks to Chris and Lupton Sports Collectibles. So until next Monday night, I'm Alan Slaughter-Zinsky. You've been listening to the Ravens Monday Night Quarterback Podcast. I'd like to thank everybody involved with helping us with the social media aspect of it. Trudy Goss and company do a fantastic job out there of keeping Ravens Monday Night Quarterback, the Facebook page, up to date. Give us a follow on Twitter, at RavensMNQB. You can follow me personally on Twitter, at ZlotSports, Z-L-O-T Sports. So thanks for all of your support. And until next Monday night, right here on these same Bat Channels, go Ravens. By God, we need a win.
Ladies and gentlemen, and fans, the Baltimore Ravens.